Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Become two, there can only be one world champion.
Les têtes sont une sorte de multinationale, elle exporte.
L'équipe de France, encore une fois, sur un coup de pied arrêté, qui a touché ce ballon?
France have taken the lead, suggestion perhaps it came off Mario Mandzukic.
And then Perisic, 1-1, he has screamed that in!
Oh, he's going to get a penalty.
I cannot believe that.
That referee's never played football. Guarantee it. But he's never played football.
Oh! 20e minute! Et Antoine Griezmann qui ne laisse aucune chance à Daniel Subasic. Quelle finale! Quelle finale!
Mbappé, Griezmann, Pogba! Pogba!
Quelle efficacité! Quelle efficacité! L'accélération d'Mbappé, la gestion intelligente de Griezmann.
Mbappé, oh my word! The first teenage World Cup final goal since Pelé himself.
Cette deuxième étoile, 65e minute, l'équipe de France mène 4-1, Kylian Mbappé.
It is France. It will be some can-can on the Champs-Élysées tonight.
Yeah, and today as well, the French team arrived back in Paris this afternoon, promptly made their way to a presidential reception. Emmanuel Macron announced they would all receive the country's highest accolade, the Legion of Honour, and then crowds lined the Champs-Élysées to welcome them home. It is a second star on the French jersey, and Didier Deschamps, just the third man to win a World Cup on the pitch and as manager. We have Mark Lawrenson on the line. Evening, Mark.
Hi, boys. Yep.
So kind of a weird game in many ways yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think it was a penalty in a million years, which worries me because obviously VAR generally has been good, but how you could look at that and decide it was a penalty, I'll never, ever know. There's another one as well earlier in the tournament, the same, which is a little bit of a worry when the ball hits somebody so close and they don't even see it, there's not a lot they can do about it. But good game. I mean, Croatia had a lot of the ball. I think France were always the better team. We had rubber the green on the day, but they were always the better team.
Oh, you always... Well, OK. Why were they the better team then? Because a lot of people looking on thought that Croatia had played them.
Well, but I think the thing with Croatia, they had lots of the ball and dominated the ball. Didn't really make that many opportunities. And I think, you know, in a final, in a competition like that, especially in the final when it's really tight, you know, the big moments, Pogba scores his goal and Mbappe, etc. I think that was the difference. And I saw France in the very first game. I did the very first game against Australia, and they were ordinary. And they played the Mbappe, Griezmann, and Dembele up front. And it just didn't work because they were all moving around so much. Nobody could play the ball into them up front. So they couldn't stick. Midfield players coming forward like Pogba, etc. They also played an extra defensive midfield player. And then Deschamps changed the team completely, stuck Giroud in. And it really was the glue to the side. He also left the defensive midfield player out, not Conte, and stuck Pogba in there, but just let it run forward. You know, the thing about the breaking was so
Mark,
clearly.
I tell you what, just the line is breaking up. We're going to take a very short break. We're going to ring you right back and get you in a better line.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Mark, you're back with us?
I am back with you, yeah.
Okay, that's a bit better. So you were talking about the differences from that first game, Giroud and putting Pogba in alongside Kante. That made a big difference for them, you felt?
Well, it made a big difference because then the likes of Griezmann and Mbappe could kind of play off Giroud. There's one thing about Giroud. He's maybe not a consistent goal scorer, but he's big and he's strong and he holds the ball up. And once you play with a player who holds the ball up for you, then you can start to make the runs. And I think that was the difference. And definitely Griezmann suddenly became a better player. Mbappe was just basically sensational, as everybody knows. Everyone knows about his pace. And it just made a difference to France. And it was almost kind of like saying from Deschamps, hold on, we don't need two defensive midfield players. We only need one because Kante would do the work of three or four players anyway. Mm. And we need Giroud up there, and he's also in both boxes. He's a bonus, obviously attacking the ball at both ends. And from that day on, really, they were rampant. I thought against Uruguay, they kind of didn't play particularly well, but you always felt that they were going to score. And I think the longer the tournament went on, I think they believed, they really did believe that they could win the competition.
That phrase you used, they didn't play particularly well, but you felt they were going to come through. You could all, you could apply that to pretty much all their games, is the general feeling. Like, they never seem to catch fire here. No one's talking about this as a French team which had to play very often in fifth gear.
Argentina, I would say, was the only one where they gave them, I mean, they beat them 4-2 and they gave them a whacking in the end. I mean, they created lots of chances, but hey, Argentina defensively were hopeless, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
But I think that's the key for them, is, you know, they've got a very good goalkeeper, defensively very good. And when you actually look at Hernandez and Havard, they're actually centre-backs and they're playing full-backs. So defensively, they were always going to be good enough. And then you've got your match winners. You know, we talked Griezmann, Mbappe, Pogba, those kind of guys. And off the bench, they had... If you looked at the 11 they had on the bench, there were some top-class players in there as well. So they certainly knew we could change it at any time. And it really, sometimes it would improve the performance.
Yeah. Going back, you said the penalty definitely wasn't a penalty. It was quite striking that the referee was about to leave it and then went back for another look. Like, he was clearly torn here. He was not sure what to do at all. And ultimately didn't take into account how little time the Croatian player had to react to that ball.
Well, he had no time. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I heard the clip there, and Roy was saying he obviously didn't play the game, and I would totally agree with him. But I think that's the worry. I think the thing with the VAR is, I do think it's very good, and I do think it clears lots of things up. But you get to the stage where the referee has a split second where he just thinks, oh my God, is my judgment wrong?
Yeah.
And that is the problem. But I think, you know, as it goes on, obviously, it will improve. Look, there's no doubt about it. It generally works. And even the Croatians said, I mean, the manager said at the end of the game, he said, look, you know, when it works, it's great. When it works against you, it's rubbish, but it's the future and we're going to have to deal with it, which was, I thought, was a really kind of smart thing to say from a team who just lost the World Cup final. He surely had some balls.
Yeah. A lot of people are kind of feeling sorry for Croatia in some respects. I accept your point that you felt France were the better team and in control of the game. Yet, you know, an own goal, Mandzukic's own goal, and then the penalty, and you kind of feel like the world was contriving a little bit against them. They are a strange concept, Croatia. 4 million people, the football structure is in complete disarray, it seems. There's corruption charges around the FA, and yet they produce these just beautifully technical footballers. Like, they're a joy to watch when some of the passages of play they put together is just, they're just beautiful.
Oh, they are. And I mean, obviously, the two key players are obviously Modric and Rakitic. But, you know, I mean, you've got Perisic and Rubic either side, and they can play either side. They can both play left and right. Mandzukic, actually, for Juventus, he plays in a front three and plays on the left. And when I watched Croatia in the game that I did, quite often you'd think, they didn't have a centre-forward at times. But I think just the way they manage the ball. And I can't speak highly enough about Modric. He's just one of the best midfield players in the world, if not the best, because every time you see him get the ball, he just looks forward all the time. It's always a forward pass. If he can't go forward, then he does something else. He might go sideways. But if you watched a lot of the World Cup, lads got the ball in midfield and it was like just sideways. They're not like that. And Rakitic is not like that. And actually, I don't think Rakitic was brilliant in the competition. He looked like he'd had a long season, which he obviously had, but even so, I just had this belief. I thought, you know, defensively was good. I mean, dare I say, even Lovren played well. Vida is, you know, he looks fearsome, attacks the ball well. The two fullbacks are both decent as well. They're just a very good all-round team. I would say, you know, because obviously the 4 million people in the country, they're in a cycle where all these players have come together, and they are a very, very good team.
Why does Modric not get muscled out of games more?
Because he's so clever. He's wiry. He's small. He's one of those really wiry players that if you watch when teams try and when they tackle him, they kind of bounce off him a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I think the fellow's a genius because also who'll take the ball in any situation whatsoever and hardly ever, ever gives it away. And the other thing as well with him is he's got a really high percentage of nicking the ball off you, which when you look at him, you just think, well, how on earth did he do that with his frame?
There's been talk that Pogba has come of age in this tournament, that it's been a more consistent level of performance across the month, that he's been disciplined, that either the penny has dropped with this guy or that Deschamps has managed to reach him in a way that Mourinho hasn't been able to. Have you noticed a big difference in his play first off? Do you agree that he's been a very different player here to the one we've seen at Manchester United?
Yeah. But you know, go back to that first game against Australia, he played against Australia like he did for Manchester United because he had these two kind of midfield players in. I think it's Tolisso was the other one with Kante, and he didn't really know where to go and what to do. And, you know, and I think that was a big decision that Deschamps made, which was almost in the second game saying, well, forget about that. Just let him go and play. And I think the other thing with Pogba as well is when you've got Griezmann in the team and when you've got Mbappe in the team, and, you know, good players feed off good players. And I think also with Pogba, you've just not got to restrict him. It's almost a little bit, you know, when you're in the school playground when you were 14 and 15 and you were probably the best player in the school, and you just sort of went and played everywhere and joined in and made things happen. I think that's how you play him. And I think that the key to that is then, obviously, they've got Kante, the French, and Kante's like 2, 3, 4 players at times. And the great thing about him is he'll fill the hole that Pogba leaves. And I think once also Pogba knows that and people have the belief in him, I mean, you know, we said when he signed for Manchester United, the fella had the ability to be absolutely anything he wants. Mm. I think this has been absolutely massive competition for him, definitely.
So you still felt that Pogba, even as the tournament went on, he was still leaving defensive holes. It was just Kante was picking up the slack.
Well, yeah, but not massive. Don't get me wrong. He comes back and he tucks in. But listen, what do you want him doing? Making sliding tackles on his own 18-yard box, or do you want him running at people because he's a beast?
Sure.
At the other end, and where, you know, he commits people, and obviously, you know, the runs of Griezmann and Mbappe, Giroud, etc., make all the difference. I think you've got to basically almost not put any pressure on him and not kind of buttonhole him saying, you've got to pick their number 8 up all the time, you've got to do this. He's not that kind of player.
But he did seem to do that this tournament. Like, even just watching him when Croatia had the ball, he was very tuned in a way he's not always tuned in for Manchester United. You could see him barking at players around him, pointing at people. Like, he wasn't just letting players run off him in the way that he does under Mourinho.
Well, I think that's because he was happy with his role in the team. And it's almost, I remember when I went to Liverpool and they'd had Kevin Keegan, and he'd left a few years before, obviously, because Kenny Dalglish took over. But I remember one of the boot room staff used to say to me, if we want Kevin to track back, we tell him to stay up front on his own. And if we want him to stay up front on his own, he'll track back. And it was almost kind of what they were saying was that, you know, he will do things and work things out for himself. He's a free spirit, Pogba. He's still a relatively young lad as well, but he's got so much talent. And when you look at him, you think he's actually a basketball player. He's that big. But once he opens his legs, his stride is so long. But I think he's just one of those lads who, well, it's a bit like, you know, you can have lots of players in your team. Some of them, you can whack them every day. It's a bit like the dog here, you know, the carrot and the stick. And some of them just respond to the stick all the time, but others need to dangle the carrot in front of them. And I think that's exactly what Pogba is. Do I think Mourinho's that kind of manager? Not particularly, but he must have been looking at that and thinking, maybe I need a rethink. Because you know what will happen is Pogba goes back to Manchester United the first 3 months and he's average. It's going to be Mourinho's fault, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, in a big way. That's going to be interesting if that does happen. Mbappe has joined Pele with his teenage goal-scoring exploits in a World Cup final. Are we talking about Mbappe as the best player in the world in waiting here? Is he that level? Is he pretty much guaranteed to take over from Ronaldo and Messi, yeah?
Yeah, he's put himself most definitely onto that level, because he's got a little bit of everything. I think he's got a bit of narc in him as well, which is always good. But you know that once you've got that pace, and once you've got that fantastic first touch and control, and you can score goals out of nothing, the rest will come anyway. You know you become more of a team player. You'll be aware of other players, and you create different situations for them. You're just kind of thinking now with Mbappe is what's between his ears, because that's the only thing that's possibly going to stop him becoming a really, really great player as the likes of Messi and Ronaldo.
Do you regard this French team as a great team?
In relation to lots of other World Cup winning teams, no. I think it's a very, very good team, but I don't think it's a great team, no.
And will they get better? Can you see them in 4 years going on to greater things? I guess it depends on the manager as well. Like, given the talent available, notwithstanding the points you make about Deschamps making some good decisions early on in this tournament, you do wonder what a Guardiola might do with this batch of unbelievably talented players. Like, there's, I guess I come back to that point that they never seem to get out of fifth gear. You wonder what they could be under a more expressive kind of manager.
Well, yes and no. Maybe they just need to play this way. Maybe that we don't know what guidelines that Deschamps set for them, do we? We don't really know in terms of, does he say to them for the first 30 minutes, look, keep it tight, guys, or I would suggest that he does and has. But he's got it right. And, you know, when you say go on to greater things, what's the greatest thing that would win the World Cup?
Well, that's true. I guess what I mean by that is becoming universally regarded as a great team, as a great World Cup team.
I think when we think about great teams, we think about the Brazilians. Well, I always do. That's the first thing I'll ever think, because some of their teams were absolutely unbelievable. Argentina, obviously with Maradona as well at one stage. Have you ever seen, you know, when France won in 98 and Aimé Jacquet was the manager?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, there's a documentary, and at half time in the World Cup final against Brazilians, like when they're already in front, they come in at half time and Aimé Jacquet says very, very little. And then Deschamps gets up and starts talking to all the players. You know what? It's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it was really quiet. He was just saying things like, you know, we will never, ever be in this position again. We're at home. You know, we're playing in Paris. You'll be, you know, fated for the rest of your lives. That whole kind of thing. But at the same time saying, we cannot let the opposition back into this game. I sat there and thought, wow. Mm. You know, if I'd been in that dressing room, I'm thinking, Christ almighty, how good was that? And talk about inspiration, certainly.
Yeah, so maybe I'm being slightly harsh on just the third man in history to win a World Cup on the pitch and as a manager.
Yeah, not bad, is it?
No, it's pretty good, and they're a young team, and I guess they will get better. It'll be interesting to see what they become, given what the 98 team did in 2000, and then, well, obviously they went downhill very quickly in 02, but
yeah. The
age profile of this team is still very, very healthy. Like, they could very realistically look at 4 years' time.
Yeah, but listen, they'll have to battle with England, won't they?
yeah, absolutely. Was it a great World Cup?
Yeah. Well, listen, it was a great World Cup for Russia, most definitely. I think it was a great World Cup. Yeah, I think obviously the format's changed now, and you know there were still some ordinary teams. There were still teams that just sat in there and obviously made it difficult. You could kind of understand that a little bit, but I think generally the better teams all got into the knockout stages, and I have to say, the games I was at, some were really good games, but if they weren't really good games, they were really good stories, and I think the VAR obviously added a little bit more kind of drama and theatre to it, etc. Referees still worry me a little bit, like you get referees from America and Japan refereeing top European sides, which they've never refereed at that level. I don't really know how FIFA do anything about that. But no, I did think it was. I mean, and I've been to Russia many times, probably about half a dozen, and the last time would have been 5 or 6 years ago. I'm Moscow. I have to say, Moscow is one of the most westernized cities in the Western world. I absolutely didn't recognise it at all. I thought it was brilliant, to be honest with you. Whether it will still be, because everyone, the FIFA family have gone home today, I'd like to see in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, however long, if it changes, because it shouldn't, because it was great.
Yeah, okay. On that note, Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Mark Lawrence in there. Short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.